Our first scripture is found in the book of Deuteronomy. Then Moses went out and spoke these words to all Israel. I am now 120 years old, and I am no longer able to lead you. The Lord has said to me, you shall not cross the Jordan. The Lord your God himself will cross over ahead of you. He will destroy these nations before you, and you will take possession of their land. Joshua also will cross over ahead of you, as the Lord said. And the Lord will do to them what he did to Sihon and Og, the kings of the Amorites, whom he destroyed along with their land. The Lord will deliver them to you, and you must do to them all that I have commanded you. Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or terrified because of them, for the Lord your God goes with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. Then Moses summoned Joshua and said to him in the presence of all Israel, be strong and courageous, for you must go with this people into the land that the Lord swore to their ancestors to give them, and you must divide it among them as their inheritance. The Lord himself goes before you and will be with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. And from Ephesians, as a prisoner for the Lord, then, I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. But to each one of us, grace has been given as Christ apportioned it. This is why it says, when he ascended on high, he took many captives and gave gifts to his people. What does he ascended mean, except that he also descended to the lower earthly regions? He who descended is the very one who ascended higher than all the heavens in order to fill the whole universe. So Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and the teachers to equip his people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Then we will no longer be infants, tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of people in their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of him who is the head, that is Christ. From him, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work.
And here ends the reading of God's holy word. Thank you, Vi. When I arrived here 10 years ago, the congregation had been through a lot at that point. Pastor Bill David, my predecessor, had resigned, and Elder Patty Birchall was planning on working towards becoming a commissioned lay pastor. And when the Presbytery sent me instead, she had to change her plans. People left the church after Bill resigned. More people left the church after I came, because at least a few of them told me that they were just not having a woman pastor. They just weren't going to tolerate that. And yet, I found myself loving this congregation from the moment I was here as a candidate doing my candidating sermon. And one of the first things that I remember was marching in the 4th of July parade. I came on July the 1st, 2009, and I marched in the 2009 parade. And I don't know if you remember this or not, Bobby, but you and Bob were there marching along with about 15 others of us. And Bob turned to me and he said, "Pastor, are you proud of us?" And you know, I was. I was so proud of you. And I have been proud of you. And I am proud of you. There have been ups and downs, that's true. Some years, we have baptized and brought in more people than we said goodbye to or buried. And in those years, we celebrated. They were great years. There were, though, also some years where we buried and said goodbye to more people than we welcomed and baptized. And those were sad years. But on the whole, I want you to know that we are really doing very well for a smallish rural church. I don't know if you know this or not, but we are going against national statistics because nationwide, rural churches are losing their members and shutting their doors and going out of business. And the reason why is because younger people are moving to the cities because that's where the jobs are. Well, we're bucking that trend. We are still here. We're doing great. We've grown about 40% in the past 10 years. And again, I just want to say how proud I am of all of you. And now it's time for the next step. I am getting old and forgetting names and forgetting, like, did I give people a membership sheet or not? Yeah, okay. A lot of us are in that situation. I agree. And I also have major family responsibilities that I didn't have a few years ago. My parents, both of them have dementia. They live in Seattle, and they have caregivers. They live at home, and the caregivers frequently will come for a day and decide they're never going to come back, or they'll come for a few days and then decide they have had enough. And so my sister has been carrying the bulk of the caregiving, and she still has children at home. She really needs my help. And so I have tickets already purchased to go to Seattle next month. I do plan to go every month to help my sister and brother care for our parents. And I also have a grandson. You saw a little Augie when he came up for the children's time, a little two-year-old boy. And I have another grandson on the way in September, who's my son and daughter-in-law who live in Colorado are having their first child. And since my kids had to grow up without knowing their grandparents because of basically moves made for job reasons, I don't want my grandkids to have to grow up without their grandparents. And with family responsibilities like that, it's impossible to keep up a pastor's schedule. And so it is time for me to step down, and it's time for a new pastor to step up. So let's get ready to take that new step. Let's look again at what Paul has to say about life in the church. I'd like you to pick up your pew Bibles and turn to page 1778. That's a good Revolutionary War kind of a number. 1778. Let's turn to that. And it's Ephesians 4. Got it? Okay, 1778. Paul says in verse 1, I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Well, sure, of course. I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you've received too. Any minister would urge that. But what do we mean exactly by saying that? I want you to read with me verses 2 and 3 out loud together so that we really get it, okay? Let's read. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. Okay. Now, that's pretty clear. What should we do about it? Well, suppose there's a church member who's driving you nuts. I realize that could never happen here, but just in case. So, how should you deal with it? Should you go and tell six of your best friends that that person over there is driving you nuts? No. Or should you march right up to that person and be really confrontational and say, hey, I think you should quit driving me nuts. Just stop it right now. Should you do that? No. What does Paul say you should do? He says, be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. So, you should first of all, pray about the situation that you're concerned with. And remember what Paul says. And remember also that Jesus tells us to treat other people the way we would like to be treated, okay? After you've prayed through all of that, then if you find you still need to go and talk to the other church member, keeping in mind, of course, that they have to bear with you, the same as you have to bear with them. Then you would go and talk gently and humbly. You know, I'm wondering if we could talk about this. Something along those lines. Or to put it in a four-word summary. Wag more, bark less. Okay? Next, let's look and see what Paul says about who does what in the church. Turn to your Ephesians 4 again, and let's read together verse 11 out loud. So Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and the teachers. Okay, so Christ has sent church leaders from the beginning until now and will so do until he returns. And what are they supposed to do, these leaders? Let's look at verse 12. Read it out loud. To equip his people for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up. Okay, now Keith's job is to equip you for your works of service. Keith's job is not to do everything for you. That wouldn't work for a couple of reasons. First reason, he has a family. He has two little girls and a little boy on the way that's due in what, 3 weeks? 3 weeks, okay. So he will need to be spending time with his family. And his job is to equip you so that you can care for one another and so that you can go out and reach out to other people beyond our church's boundaries. And that's good for you, too, because if you do these things, let's look at the consequences. Verse 13, until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Okay. Attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. That is what you can become. That is what God wants you to become. That is fulfilling the calling that God has placed on your life. You have within you the fullness of Christ himself. So it is for your own good that Keith is not going to do everything for you. Certainly it's for his own good and for his family's good, but it's for your good too. Because if you just sit there going, feed me, well, okay, the baby birds has to grow up and fly at some point, right? So in the same way, we are expected to be equipped to become mature, to grow up, to be able to minister ourselves. And if we do, we will find ourselves incredibly blessed with the fullness of Christ within us. So, how might we serve others? Well, I've got some good suggestions. Of course, I always do, but definitely today. One of the ways you can serve is by helping Keith and his family to get adjusted. And you know what? One of the best ways you can do that? Wear your name tag. Look down at your chest. Do you have your name tag on? Some of you do. Great. Good for you. All of y'all who don't have your name tag, wear your name tag, because that will help him to learn your name. And not only him, but we had 4 new members join the church this month. They don't know you either. It would help if you wore your name tag. So please do that, right? Okay. Next thing. Volunteer to teach Sunday school. Seriously. I mean, that's the reason we don't really have one now, is because we couldn't get one going. So Michelle Kidwell and Diane Green have volunteered to be part of the roster of Sunday school teachers. That's 2. If we have a team of 8, then we can do it. We can provide Sunday school for our own kids and also for the kids out there who are not here but should be. So, volunteer to teach Sunday school. 3, babysit. Keith and Carla are a long way from their families, and it takes a lot of errand running and fussing around with things to settle in a new area. And Carla cannot just call up her mom and say, can you look after the kids for a couple of hours while I go take care of, you know, this, that, the other thing. So that being the case, if you can babysit, please give Keith and Carla your contact information so that they can call and say, yeah, could you please come and look after the kids for an hour or two while we go take care of whatever. That would be tremendously helpful. And of course, serving isn't all about serving our new pastor and his family. It's also about working together with our deacons and elders. We ordained deacons and elders last week, and we're going to ordain some more deacons and elders this week. When they're ordained, they make promises. But so do you. You promise, specifically, to pray for them, to encourage them, to respect their decisions, and to follow as they guide you. And you know what? They sure could use your help. So if an elder comes to you and says, would you like to be on my committee? You might consider saying yes. If a deacon stands up in church and says, we really need help with this memorial service, you might consider saying yes. That would be a tremendous encouragement to your church leaders that you've elected. Also, you can reach out to people who aren't part of this church. For example, Pastor Lee and Sherry have been doing a lot of work reaching out to the folks at the Columbia Sky Mobile Home Park. And that might be something that you'd like to be involved with too. Or, remember last summer when we had that contest about inviting people to come to church and Louise won? She invited 9 people over the course of a month. I want to say you don't have to have a contest to invite people to church. You could do this, all of you, anytime. My hope for you as this congregation is that you will indeed grow to become, in every respect, the mature body of Him who is our head, our Lord Jesus Christ. So I pray that as you take this next step together with your new pastor, that you will be patient with one another, that you will bear with one another in love. I pray that you will serve the people in the community as well as the people in the church so that we can grow and grow and draw more people to Jesus Christ. For my part, I pledge to pray for you faithfully every day for as long as I live. And I am looking forward to continuing being proud of you. Amen.